So we're going to go to our special guest now. He's very familiar face to us, and so he's not probably so much as a guest, but he holds such a special part in so many of our hearts, and that's Tim Lovell. And so, Tim, it is so good to have you back with us, and I'm really looking forward to you sharing about community as we venture into this core tenet of community as part of this series that we're working through at the moment. So over to you, Tim. Thanks, mate.
Oh, hey, good morning. Welcome to a breakfast on my own. You know, it's pretty interesting to be here together in this space again. I want to say thanks, Stephen, for welcoming me. And pretty honestly, to be back in this space some 16 months after we last had to do this format of service from isolation, it does feel strange. It does feel kind of isolated, and I know that's what we're doing. We're isolating. But I don't think breakfast was ever really designed to just be alone. And I don't know where you're gathering in from today, but it really is my privilege to welcome you into this space, and hopefully you'll enjoy the time we have together. Ironically, we're exploring one of these core tenets that we have here at Good Life, and it's the value of community. You know, to piggyback on what Ryan said last week, we don't just value community. We recognize that we desperately need community. We need togetherness. You know, we also recognize and believe that it is God's design for us. You might remember some time ago, I spoke from the idea found in Genesis chapter 2 that God creates, and he's going through this process of saying everything's good and everything he created is good, and every step he goes through, he says it's good. But the first time he says anything is not good is this idea of man being alone. For the first time, God says something is not good. And so what does God do? He creates a companion. God goes to the effort of creating this opportunity for togetherness. And immediately the enemy comes against it and wants to destroy it and wants to cause this division and breakdown in that. But I also believe it is this clear indication that we're not meant to do life alone. You know, as Ryan read last week, if you caught that, and I hope you did, he read from Ecclesiastes, and in Ecclesiastes it says this, that, you know, it's not good that we're alone. In chapter 4 and verse 12, it says this, that a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer, and three, even better, and a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And again, it's why I believe the church is described as a body. Again, Ryan referred to that last week. We're a single entity made up of many different parts with many different purposes, and each unique part does its bit that it was created to do. And it really does the part that it does best. You know, it's funny, but watching the Olympics, you know, I've been watching a fair bit of it and I enjoy the competition, but it's reminded me just how much a well-disciplined, well-trained, and in-tune body can accomplish. You know, one of the benefits of not being allowed to go out and being in isolation is that during this time, the Olympics are televised. spend a whole lot of time reflecting on this idea of just what it is that we can accomplish. You know, last year, when we weren't allowed to, you know, meet en masse, we were allowed to experience these small gatherings together. And many of us opened our homes, and some of us still are, and I am so thrilled that that's happening. Little pockets of people that are being the church in one another's living rooms and one another's communities. I'm glad that is still happening, but for us, it happened. We opened our home and we would gather together and engage in this time of worship and learning and the teaching via this very format. But then we would eat together. We'd all sit around this table with food, with bread, butter, and whatever people bought. And it was this time of experience, something that I don't think we had experienced a lot of. And for me, it was this sense of, wow, this is really what the body of Christ can look like in these small settings, but also as a part of something greater. And here at this table, we would sit and eat together, and the meal was made up of many different parts, and whatever people brought along to it. A bit of a sort of breakfast, brunch, potluck, if you will. And I love those times, because watching and learning and worshipping and sharing together became times of engagement and conversation, laughter, prayer, and sharing, and learning one another's stories and where we came from and what made us who we were. But it does bring me to a bit of my thought for today. I wonder if you'd indulge me for a moment with this idea, and I guess a question: why do people generally prefer a restaurant buffet to a potluck dinner? Now, I'm going to let you sit with that for just a moment. It's a good question, I think. Why do people generally prefer this idea of a restaurant buffet? Still with me? I hope so. Well, here's what I think. I think people like the idea of a buffet because it's professionally prepared. You know, it's clean, it's well presented, it's ready for me whenever I get there. And I don't have to participate in the preparation or the cleanup. I can pick and choose what I want with no worries about really offending the chef, because that's pretty much what's expected of me. And I don't have to really be considerate of others' needs. I'd rather just be sure that I get what I feel like I want or I need. And the truth is, it doesn't cost me that much. And I think I remember my parents taking us to buffets, and even when I first visited the US, you could just pay this amount and then you could just eat whatever you wanted and as much of it or as little of it as you wanted. But ultimately, I don't really have to have a commitment to the restaurant or to the other customers. And if I don't like it, I can just go and find another one that sort of presents the spread that I do want. And I guess it's really basically just pretty easy. It's comfortable, it's convenient. But the potluck, on the other hand, it can be a bit of a risk, can't it? It's generally far from professional. There's no real guarantee of what you're going to get or how you're going to get it, the quality of presentation. Everyone is depending on everyone else for their part. And this is the funny thing, because if you don't bring your part, then everyone's probably missing out at some level. And I'm expected to be a part of the prep, And more often than not, I'm expected to be a part of the cleanup as well. And I'm really invested as far as I'm able to keep being a part of the experience and the expression, and I bring a part to that. My presence there affects the tone of everyone else's experience, and it really is an interesting thing to look at that dynamic that happens in a potluck. We sort of get to learn one another's stories. And when we're honest in that space over food, there's a real richness. But the thing also is that I usually bring something that I like, and I hope that everyone else is going to like it too. And then the truth is, I also have a commitment to the others around that table. If I say I'm going to bring something and be there, then they're expecting me and they're looking forward to it. Honestly, it's nowhere near as easy as doing the buffet. But it has the potential to be so much richer and so much more rewarding. You know, I think Jesus had something in mind when he thought of the church that was much more akin to the potluck. I think much more similar to the potluck than the buffet. And I think probably a bit of a noisy potluck with all of its colours and flavours and smells that may even seem to clash. But with all the mishmash and the mismatch of dishes and cutlery, the giving, the receiving, the mutual investment, the sense of community, the togetherness, the offering and the receiving, the opportunity to know and to be known. You know, it's that sharing and caring and the giving of ourselves that really becomes enriching, and it's the mingling around the table that means that we might even find it spilling over into other parts of my life as I connect and I begin to share. It's messy, no doubt, but I'm so rich. I sort of believe that the church really should be like that potluck table where everyone's welcomed. And we're made to feel like we have a place of belonging and participation and value because I'm bringing something. And we're made to feel welcome whether we come with, you know, the much or the meager. Or we come with elegance or awkwardness. Or it's served on pewter or it's served on paper. You know, and it's honestly, it's Jesus is the one who invites us. And he invites us to come together as a part of his body with these simple, this simple word of invitation. Come. Come. Come all of you. And I really like the idea, in fact, that it's this place of life, but it's also a place of rest. It's a place of belonging, because so often Jesus says, come and be refreshed. You know, I love the invitation that says, come and eat. You don't have money? Come. You don't have anything you can participate with right now? Come. And this is what I guess my heart yearns for with the church, is that truly there would be this place of preparedness and welcome that would just say to people around us, come. Be restored, find refreshing, find belonging, find community, find healing, find hope. But all of us in different ways at different times bring that offering, and sometimes we're the ones receiving. You know, actually it's what I'm really enjoying about our gatherings at the moment and the invitation that's there to participation. You may have heard Craig saying that it's not about our professionalism, it's about our participation. It's not just the presentation, but it's what all of us get to bring. For me, honestly, it's been the beauty in sitting in those spaces, reinterpreting the Psalms, allowing what David and others have written to ignite this sense of engagement with those same truths in the midst of my own situation. And I don't know whether you've participated in that yet, but I really encourage you to engage that exercise. Take a psalm and take your season of life and reflect on what's it saying to you. How do those words reverberate in your own life? You know, I really love the beauty of those visual interpretations that are coming out, and the voices that we're hearing and songs that are being written. And, you know, I'm loving in my own home, my wife just writing the beauty of songs that she's finding are just coming out of the place she's at in life. And it's permission giving. You see, the community of Christ becomes permission giving and affirming, encouraging. We speak life to one another. And I don't want to just see the professional behind the buffet line making sure that we're happy with what's being presented to us. I'd rather see us all just reaching across the table, offering and receiving and getting. There's a beauty to it. You know, and I know a lot of this that's happening in our midst is happening with people that wouldn't consider themselves the consummate professionals. They're stepping up in willingness. I love what we're seeing in the Good Life Creative and some of the things that are coming online. And, you know, we're going to engage in another one a little bit later in this time together. I hope you'll find a place to participate. There's a beauty in the individual offering, but there's this incredible beauty of color and sound and in the sum of the greater. And a wonderful example of this was what came out of our time in lockdown and isolation, where we couldn't come together en masse, but we wanted to work out how do we let our voices be heard as a part of the greater community. And a lot of effort went into putting together the video piece that came together with one voice that said, no matter what we're experiencing, our God is great. He's great. And that hasn't changed. And I really do believe that we can find that expression renewed. We're going to go into that song. And I hope it reminds you of that voice that we have together. And so here it is, the declaration, our God is right.
You are my strength when I leave, a shelter from the storm, a very present help when all my hope is gone. My God is great.
Holy and creative.
how good is that? It's still so true, still so relevant. And you see in that so many voices, so many flavors, so much beauty as people bring their individual setting, their individual voice, sometimes their individual melody or harmony. But we come together as this one declaration. Our God is great. He always has been great. And He will eternally be great. And so we give ourselves to one another. And so until we get together again, stay in touch. Even as a part of, let's call it our virtual potluck. What do you bring to the table? What do you bring to someone else's life? And what do we allow them to bring to ours? Maybe you can call someone. Maybe you can be a word of encouragement to someone. You can pray for someone. You can listen to someone. You can share a bit of yourself with someone and your own journey and be a gift to someone who might need it today or tomorrow or this week or who knows when. Maybe just try and be sensitive to it. The question is, what do we tend to like about the buffet versus the potluck? Ultimately, I hope we just get back to the potluck. But until then, I hope we'll see each other soon. But may you know the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved us to the point that He gave Himself for us, that we in turn will know His presence. God bless you and keep you. Thanks for engaging with me. See you soon. Peace.